Malkus. So we have the sugya of Rav Shenitakla say, Rav Shekadmo say, and the case of Ones Shegiresh, Kohen Shegiresh, and the Gemara lays out for us that really Rav Yochanan could ultimately stand by what he said, that Rav Shekadmo say is different than Rav Shenitakla say. Rav Shenitakla say does not get Malkus. Rav Shekadmo say would get Malkus. And the kasha from Ones Shegiresh could be resolved because we would ultimately be able to reframe the mitzvah that exists to remarry the woman after he divorced her based on the drasha of Ko Yamav. However, we explained the drasha ultimately boils down to a new assay, Ko Yamav Bamot Achzer, that specifically relates to the situation after the gerushin. Okay, so we resolved the kasha from Ones. Rav Shekadmo say ultimately will be different. That's Shitas Rav Yochanan. Okay, now we have another small piece of Gemara, and then from there we're going to get into a very big Yisodistika sugya that's going to go for a little bit, and that's the sugya of Bitlo Bo Bitlo Kimo Bo Kimo. Everything that we're going to say today is going to have to wait for a fuller fleshing out, and it's really more tentative right now because things are obviously going to change once we enter the next Shlav of the sugya, and obviously we will have to revisit a lot of what we've been saying up until now. Okay, but for now, let's proceed to Seder. Amale Rav Papa l'Rava. So Rav Papa raises a question to Rava. Rava, of course, was the one who just gave the answer of Ko Yamav Ba'amod Ba'azer, which is, again, a way of learning that the case of Ones Shegiresh is, in fact, a Lav Shenitak Laseh, whereas the Rav Shekadmo say would be different, and we'd get Malkus. But Papa asks Rava the question, what's the kasha of Rav Papa? The kasha of Papa is on the statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that Rav Shekadmo say would get Malkus, and Rava came to the rescue to answer the kasha for Ones Shegiresh. And the question of Papa asked, V'halodami labe, how do Amar Rav Yochanan, says Rashi, Had the Amar Rav Yochanan lo sase shekadmo asay loken alav. That statement of Rav Yochanan lo sase shekadmo asay would get Malkus. How could that be? After all, halo dami lavi lav de chasima. The lav of kadmo asay is not the same as lav de chasima. She'ein bo asay. By the case of lo sasim shar b'disho, there is no asay connected to the lav. It's just the lav for itself. But who's Samoch Lepashas Malkus? And the Pasuk of Losasim Sharbidisho is juxtaposed with Pashas Malkus, which means, presumably, that in order for there to be Malkus for a Lav, it has to fit the criteria of being similar to Lav de Chasima. And Lav de Chasima doesn't have an assay associated with it. So Rav Papa seems to be asking, how can Rav Shekadmo assay be Chayv Malkus? The fact that there's an assay, even though it's Kadmo assay, even though the assay could be fulfilled before the Lav is violated, even if the assay is written before the Lav in the Torah, Lamaisa is different. This Lav is different because there's an assay associated with it. That's Rav Papa's premise for the Kash. Okay, so Rav Papa is really invoking something that we saw back earlier in the Gemara, which has to do with the reason why Lav Shenitakla assay is in fact Patami Malkus. We first encountered this in the third parak in Malkus on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis with regard to the Shaka Matai over there as far as Rabbi Yishmael's Shita that wants to be Machayiv Malkus even for Chayiv Mitzvos Beis Din based on the Drasha from in Losish Molasos Bilfo Hashem Es Malkoscha. And the Gemara raises the question, what about Lav Shenitakla Asay? Should we also say it gets Malkus based on that special Drasha? The Gemara says, no, it's not the same as Lav Dechasima. So we see, and we've been discussing over the last couple of shiurim, that the idea of Lav Dechasima is very relevant in terms of understanding when a Lav gets Malkus, and that's a melamed for the Chi of Malkus. And therefore, our Papa's point is, Lav Shekadmo Asay should ultimately be different than Lav Dechasima and should not be subject to Malkus. That seems to be the question. So why does he ask this question on Rav, and why does he wait for the end of the Gemara? So l'chora, the Pashup said is because the Gemara is still working out Rav Yochanan's Shita, was he Chozer? Did he have to be Chozer? And ultimately, we figured it out that Rav Yochanan can still stand behind his Shita. And Rava was the one who defended that Shita with the Pshat that he gave of Amod Vav there. So the question was posed to Rava because Rava is in the same camp as Rav Yochanan. Presumably, the Parsha Pshat would be that Rav Papa wasn't so sure that Rav Yochanan is correct. In other words, Rav Yochanan's halacha, Alashe Kadmo Asei, is not the only shita. There's no necessarily a consensus here. We're going to see Lamasha and Amid Beis, just a heads up on what's coming in the next Gemara. Rashi's going to comment that there's a shita of Rish Lakish that's not going to square with Rav Yochanan's Alashe Kadmo Asei, Lokan Alav either. In other words, there may be Amorayim at the end of the day that stand different and a different side of this issue from Rav Yochanan. So Rav Papa, presumably, Hashem Sharim the Gemara, Rav Papa was one of those Amorayim, and his argument is that Lashe Kadmo Asei should also be no different than Nitak Asei, it should not get Malkus, ultimately it's not similar to Lav Dechasiv. Okay, so what does Rava respond to Rav Papa's Kasha? Says Rava, Amale, Mishum de Kasa Be Rachmana Asei Yisera Migra Gara. I don't understand. You're telling me it's not like Lav Dechasima. What do you mean it's not Lav Dechasima? It's a Lav, like Usachson. It happens to also have an Asei as well. So the fact that there's an Asei that's also associated with this Lav should make it worse. In other words, what Rava seems to be saying is to exclude a Lav from Malkus because it doesn't fit the test of being like Lav Dechasima, that wouldn't hold for a situation where it happens to have the Lav plus more to it. Where would you have a situation that would fail the test of Lav Dechasima l'mashal, thinking back into the earlier Gemara? What would be the classic example that one could use, that could use the makor that it's not a Lav Dechasima? Not that you don't have another makor, the Gemara actually did say earlier different possible teres. What would be another example of a Lav that Rava would understand would fail the test of being a Lav Dechasima?
Lav Shema Maisa.
Shema Maisa, we understand, is a Greisa. It is Migra Gara. Right? Lav Shema Maisa is a weaker type of a Lav. The Lav is violated without having to do a Maisa. So that's obviously less Chamor than a Lav that Yesh Bo Maisa. Lo Sachsom is the standard. If it doesn't meet that standard, if it's less than that, so we understand it won't get Malkus. Rava's countering to our Papa's argument, the fact that you have an Asei on top of the Lav should not make it less, and therefore that it should not be considered, it should be not be subject to Malkus because it's Lo Dami Lav Dechasima. Now just to pause for a second and consider the following question, because the Ritva already gives a little bit of a hesber here and also earlier, but we have to explain it a little bit. I want to hear what you have to say on this, if you hold it's a question or not a question. When the Ritva explains Rava's teretz at this point, that Mishum de Isbe Asei Yisera, the Kasabe Rahman Asei Yisera, Migva Gara, says the Ritva like this, Herush, Ein anu lemedin milad dechasima, el lifter l'mimalkis l'mashikal milad dechasima. Right? We're only going to learn from Lav Dechasima to pater, to exempt from Malkus something which is weaker, which is lenient, relative to Lav Dechasima. However, avol, kol shechomer mimenu, if it happens to be more strict because of the effect that there's an assay as well, kol shekein deloke. Kol shekein deloke. It's all the more so that you get Malkus, the Kosu Asei, the Losa Asei, Tvei Chomer Mi Losa Asei Greda. In other words, having the Asei on top of the Losa Asei makes it more Chomer than ordinary Losa Asei. So, but the Lashna Ritva is interesting. So therefore, he says, if it's more Chomer, then Kosu came to Locus. I want to ask you a question in Havana here. Tell me if you think it's a question, if you don't think it's a question. The Lashon Kosu came to Locus sounds like the principle called Kal V'Chomer, right? In other words, if it's true for the Kal, it's true for the Chomer, right? So what the Ritva is saying at face value is, no, what are you going to tell me? It has more than Lav Dechasima, right? So Kosh came to Loke. Now, wait a second. I'll ask you a question. L'maisa Lav Dechasima doesn't have an assay, right? So I know that any Lav that's like Lav Dechasima gets Malkus because it's like Lav Dechasima. Now, what are you telling me? If it has more than that, it has an assay, koshkein deloke. Koshkein deloke, but wait a second, doesn't that have to do with a problem that we had earlier in Daf Hey, What's the rule that we know when it comes to learning out achiv and ones of malchus from a kavachomer? Right? You can't say that a kavachomer is enough to allow me to learn out an ones, and it's true by ones misas, it's true for ones malchus. It's obvious that you can learn kavachomer min hadin. The sugya is later in malchus. Also, the Gemara assumes en ones malchus min hadin. So, what is the pshat in what the Ritva is saying in pshat in the Gemara? After all, that Rava says mishum dekasa berachmana asay yisera migra gara, that it certainly would have to have malchus because it's more than lata chasima. You tell Yehuda, and you hear the kasha, you don't hear the kasha, or you have a teretz. What do you say?
I don't think the Ritva is necessarily saying to learn out a kavachoma here. I think maybe he's saying the opposite, that you learn out that it's that you wouldn't get malchus in a case where it's more kal, but in a case where it's more machmir, that's just putting it on the same page. It's still a lav. That's calling it a lav, and laving get malchus.
You're saying very good. You're saying well. I think all of you should understand what Yitzchak Yonasan is saying. A very, very glatis svara. Let's just explain it. In other words, we understand here, ein onshin min adin means when I have to learn out the onesh, let's say the onesh malchus, from a kavachomer. So your kavachomer is not enough of a midah, if you're given midos, to learn out an onesh. That's the rule in onesh min hadin, whatever the svar, whatever the lumbus, whatever the mechanism is, that's the rule. What we have over here is not that we're using a kavachomer to learn out the chiyav malchus by a lav shekad melaseh, for example. The pshat is differently. There's a halacha that lavin get malchus, because the Torah says, Losach som next to Parshas Malchus. So now, what goes into that? That's a hekesh, Malchus and Losach som are hukash to each other. That means that whatever is within that framework of Losach som is subject to Malchus. That's the limud. Now the question is, what is included, what's excluded? So the Ritva is telling us, Pshat the Gemara, that Rava is saying that whatever is less than the standard of Losach Som never got into that won't go into the limud. Whatever is more, memela, it's part of the limud. In other words, nigra gara, whatever is that's not that we're using a kavachomer to learn out the onus. When the Ritva says the lashon koshkin deloke, that doesn't mean to use a kavachomer that Losach Som tells me X, tells me everything that's exactly even with that. Now I know that. Now I'm using a new midah called kavachomer to learn out malchus for something which is beyond. No, the pshat is that whatever has losach som in it, even if it has more than losach som in it, but that means it has losach som. Like we would say, bechlal masayimane. You have 200, you have 100. The 100 extra doesn't in any way take away the fact that I have 100. So having less than losach som never makes the cut, never gets into the drasha, never gets into the hekesh. But if it has losach som, it has a lav, it has an asay as well, that in no way takes away the chomer avera. So if the avera is on the same level, it has the same chomer as losach som, if it has more, so okay. So what's the problem? It's still part of the hekesh. So this has nothing to do with inon shen adin. It should be clear. Let me ask you a variation of the question and see if you can respond. I mean, I think that ultimately the same basic approach would be used to answer the kasha in the way I'm asking it now. But I want to just, for Havana purposes, I want to present the question in a slightly different way. So for now, I took the Lashna Ritva that states, kosher came the loke, and I asked you, what about Onshin Adin? And you answered very well. Let me ask the question from a different angle. Okay, it doesn't say in the Gemara ever the reason for Onshin Adin. Like, we can run quotes it all over the place. It doesn't exactly explain what it's based on. So all kinds of achronim, many achronim give all kinds of svaras and ideas. One of the famous ideas, maybe we mentioned in Shir a few times, the Mashar in Sanhedrin, I think it's in Samach Dalid, in Sanhedrin, to double check the exact daf, I think it's there. So it has to do with, he starts off with the case of Molech, if you remember, person gives all his children to Molech, then he's Pater, and the Mashar quotes the Smag on that, and then based on quoting that, he says, I think, but now understand why in Onshin Min Hadin. The rule in Onshin Min Hadin is based on the following logic. If I have an onesh associated with a particular avera, Now, I want to extrapolate with Kal v'chomer to learn out that the onus certainly would exist, would apply in a more chomer aveirus, more chomer situation. So, ein onshin adin is based on the svara that, wait a second, maybe the Torah wanted to assign this onesh for the person who did that aveira, the lighter aveira, to have a kapara. After all, every onesh also brings with it a kapara. The onesh is a machater for the sin. But when you have a larger aveira, a more severe aveira, so I can't say kal v'chomer he get that onesh, because maybe there the aveira was so chamur that maybe there the onesh would not suffice. In other words, the Torah only wants it to be such an onesh, namely a kapara of such an order, only by the case it gave that onesh for, where maybe it's commensurate, and I could explain that there could be a kapara for that aveira with this onesh. Once I raise the bar to a higher aveira, more chamra aveira, there maybe the onesh would be insufficient. The Torah wouldn't want it to be an onesh. That's what the Mashal suggests, perhaps, why in onshin min hadin. Okay, so now let me rephrase the question. Okay, so what the Gemara is responding here, Rava says, explains the Ritva, that what do you mean? Because it happens to have an asay, yesera, migra gara, says the Ritva, what we say is, if it has lav the chasima in it, but it has an asay on top of that, so it's more chamor, koshkein beloke, so it's chamor tsay. So for sure, it should be getting malchus. But let me ask a question from the angle of the Masha. I'm not asking from Einon Shem Nadin. I'm asking from the underlying svara that the Masha presents for Einon Shem Nadin. In other words, if I know that there's an onesh for an Aveira Kala, who knows if the Torah would want it to be enough to have such an onesh for Aveira Chamura. And now I ask you, maybe the Torah only wanted to assign the onesh Malkus for a lav that's not as chamur, namely a lav that doesn't have an assay that's associated with it. But when I get to an aveira of a lav that has an assay on top of it, so it's more chamur, maybe the Torah didn't want it to be just enough to have malchus. So like, why are we so sure, nigra gara? Maybe the Torah wouldn't want to give malchus for such an aveira that's more chamur. So if I ask the kasha that way, Yitzchak Yonasan, are you still going to respond with what you said? I think, why not? Don't give up, maybe still. I'm making it a more difficult challenge for you, but ultimately, what do you have to say to respond to this question? There's still a difference.
Can it be that it's all about, again, it's similar to the answer that Yosef Yonasan was saying, that the fact that it's like a prescribed gather for it, so therefore again there's no such thing as we're not making up our own ideas, where it's all within the gather of what the Torah has already set up for us.
Good, so let me put together what you're saying, what this Yonson said before. I tell you why I think you could still use the basic approach. I just have to frame it a little bit differently. I have to be a little more refined in my language to answer it now. Before, I was able to deflect the kasha a little more, you know, without the fine-tuning it. The nekuda is this: Asha Svara. But there, the point is, I don't know, there's no default. I want to learn out a new halacha. I want to learn out a new halacha that there should be an onesh for the second case, which is more chamur. So comes the Svara that the Masha says, but Einon Shem Nadin, and says, wait a second. I know the onesh exists for X. I don't know about Y. I want to use a methodology. I want to use a method Kal v'chomer in order to learn something that I didn't know before. Why is a question mark? Solve for why. What's the din? Does it get malchus? So the answer is, use a Kal v'chomer to learn out that what I know by X should be true for Y. So I'll use a Kal v'chomer. Says Mashad about Enosh Nadin. In other words, maybe the Torah only wanted you to have that onesh for X, where the Torah was Megala there, that there's the Onesh. But Y, maybe it's more Chamer, the Torah wouldn't want you to have the Onesh. That's the Svara behind Einon Shem Nadin. But the bottom line is, what we have here is an unknown, so to speak. We have to learn out a new halacha, a Chidush Din, that we don't know about. Here it's coming from a different perspective. Lamaisa, the Torah says, Lo Sachsom, next to Parshas Malkus. The question is, should we exclude certain lavin And if so, why? On what basis? In other words, the default is a lav gets malchus, because losachsom is a lav. Losachsom is a lav. By definition, a lav gets malchus. Now I want to start looking in a finer way. I'm going to say, wait a second. But wait, if the lav doesn't have enough to be similar to losachsom, doesn't have enough to be similar, then it doesn't even make it, it can't make it. It can't be part of it, and in the mail, it's excluded. It doesn't be part of the limud. To the extent that I have a lav that has losachsom in it, but it happens to be even more chamur. So, lemaisa, that's the hekesh. Now I want to pull it out. I want to say, wait a second, I'm going to come with a new svara. Oh, maybe the Torah didn't want it to be an onesh malchus for something that has more of a chumra to it. Mehechatesi, I can't do that. The Torah says lo sachsom. As long as it has lo sachsom, so it has lo sachsom plus, it's part of the hekesh. By definition, it's part of the hekesh. Elamai, I want to come out of left field and nitpick and say pull it out. I don't think I can do that. There's a difference between saying I want to learn something new, comes the svara of the Mashah and says, I can learn something new because maybe by that new case, the Torah never wanted there to be a halacha. Here, the hekesh is a melamed. A hekesh is, by definition, the default assumption when I see losachsom is losachsom, anything that has in it the standard of losachsom, should get malchus. Just to start nitpicking and saying, well, maybe there the Torah wouldn't want. That kind of a svara is not going to be enough to be motzi it from the klal, from the hekesh, from the losachsom. The losachsom basically is by definition a hekesh for losachsom and anything above it. To use a svara on the side and say, maybe the Torah wouldn't want, such a maybe is only good if I can't get to first base because of the maybe. Here, the default should be that I have a limud, losachsom, and anything like losachsom, as long as it's not less than losachsom. If it's less than losachsom, then it never made it in. But if it's more than losachsom, I can't pull it out because of such a svar. That's what I think would be the answer if I phrased the question the other way. Ellie, yeah.
When we first learned about Shem Adin on Hamad Beis, we talked about the half sister and the full sister, and we're saying that we asked, like, a full sister has a half sister in it, so why can't we learn out from half sister to full sister? So isn't this like a similar, like, over there we couldn't learn out from a half sister to full sister? We said it's a completely different thing. Really, they're not actually the same. So why don't we say that here also, that we have an also in Lota says, so it's a completely different thing?
So I'll tell you what they think the difference is, okay? The issue of sister, I mean, even though the issue of sister, at the end of the day, it's a question to still reckon with. I know I gave you a teretz, I think, which is a very good teretz. But I said there may be other answers, but I'm going to go with what I told you then. The difference is that sisterhood is a relationship. It's a kinship. It's a question of how related, how strong are the bonds from the perspective of kurva. So when I speak about full sister versus half sister, it's a kavachomer, it's not b'chama saimana, it's more of a relationship. It defines a relationship in a different way. It's a relationship of achva, a full sister. That's the difference. Over here, it's a lav, plus there's an chumra on top of that makes it more chamur. But it's the lav of losachsom, but it also has, it's about the notion of kurva. So it's a different metzius. The Torah asks us this karov, that karov, that karov. So you could say this is more karov than the other. It's not that I have this, but I also have something else added on. It's by definition a different relationship, a different kurva. It's a unique idea. We wanted to apply it to Zana Menasa. Okay, we took it a step further. But by kurva, it's a lot easier to hear the point. It's not the same. It's not achoso bas avid. It's achoso bas av basimo. Here it's mamish alav. Of losachsom order, it has losachsom, but it happens to have a chumra on top of it. So again, if the limud was whatever is losachsom comparable to losachsom should get malchus based on the limud, then this should not be excluded. Come with a new svara, good svara, hin svara, here you could say a svara, But meanwhile, it's part of the Hekesh. The default should be it's part of the Hekesh. All right, that would be what I would say in terms of the Ritzvah. Just Rabbi, to notice,
Rabbi,
the Ritzvah, yeah, please. Yes, go ahead, yeah.
Does the Malkus work as full kapara for the lavin that are more chomer than lav de chasima then?
So, I would assume yes. I would assume yes. And go figure. How do I'm not the one to make decisions like this, you know? In other words, obviously, that's if that's the din, then the mela, whatever comes with it, comes with it, you know? We'll see the Lashon kapara used even by the assay coming up soon in Shir. The nitag assay, there's different lashonos in Rashi, but what is the assay doing exactly? Again, tikkun and kapara, different lashonos. But obviously, if the malchus does it, then malchus does it wherever there is such a malchus. If there is once I know the halacha, then everything flows from that. My personal svara that maybe the Torah wouldn't want it to be sufficient is only a svara when I want to challenge a learning out a new halacha. Here, if lemaisa losachsom and losachsom plus, by definition, should be part of the hekesh, because I have losachsom here. So if it's more chamor, it's still I have losachsom. So now, for me to nitpick and say, well, but maybe the end result that you're coming away with shouldn't really be so, because I can make an argument that a more chamor and losachsom that has now an extra chumra, that's coming on from the outside. Once there is already a default drasha, I can't be motzi it from the drasha, from what should be part of the hekesh based on some possible svara. Such an argument, you know, call it a pircha, call it what you want, is only an argument when you want to stop it in its tracks, when you want to learn something new. So the ein onshin min adin, I can learn something new because I can now argue this svara the Masha says. But if a hekesh is telling us lo sachsom equivalent. So equivalent can mean equivalent plus more. To come at the end of the end, well, but if you're going to say that, then I'll tell you why maybe it shouldn't have been part of it. That's a svara, but the midah of hekesh says that lo sachsom and lo sachsom plus get malchus. So now what are you going to say? That's what the hekesh taught you. So now if you have a hekesh and you know it's part of the hekesh, then the malchus will be machater. Again, it's a little more fine-tuned than what you said before, because before I just asked the kasha stan. I made it easier. I asked you the earlier kasha, because that was a softball question. Okay, so now, good. So we know it's not enosh nadin. It's coming from the hekesh, not from the kal v'chomer. But if I ask you the question from the mashav angle, then I think you have to think a little more carefully about what the answer would be. But I think the answer still ultimately is going to be based on what you said before, because it's not a new limud. It's a question on what the end result of that hekesh would seem to be saying, but that's not going to be enough to take it out of the hekesh. Take it out of the hekesh means it doesn't have in it the standard, it's substandard to losachsom. If it's losachsom and something more, it's still enough to say, I have losachsom here, I have a lav, dumya du'lav dechasima. Unless I'll be able to somehow define it as being less than losachsom, which might be playing out in the next part of the Gemara, we'll have to read it carefully. Unless I can somehow define it as being less than losachsom, it's by definition part of the hekesh. Are both sides, you hear what we're trying to say? Yeah.
Yes.
I was kind of required to take a Zoom course yesterday, the Rabbein, so they were telling me how you can take polls in the middle of class and send out a poll. I'm not the host right now, but eventually if I become the host, I'd be able to ask questions. How many people, you know, think this, that, and then I could hear instant results. Okay, I don't know if we'll get there or not, but I'm asking you now the old-fashioned way. Everyone hear the svara? Yeah? Okay, let's go. The Ritzvah earlier actually makes mention of the same idea. I want to highlight it because it's interesting in the same context with the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, when the Gemara discussed the question also of Lav Shenitak Laseh, and the Gemara excluded the Asay and Lav Shenitak Laseh and Lav Shenitak Laseh from the fact that it's not like Lav Delo Sachsom. But what was included was the Lav that has kares and Lav that has Misas Beis Din. That was Rabbi Yishmael, right? Yishmael said, even Lav of Misas Beis Din gets Malkis and certainly Av that has Karis, you'll get Malkus along with the Karis. So the Ritzvah raises a question there as well. I don't understand. How can there be Karis, how can there be Malkus for Chayvei Krisus? The Imtoma, Av Chayvei Krisus, Nimit, the Halodami Lav the Chasima. So that was the Ritzvah's question earlier on Yugimah Mibes.
Which Ritzvah is this?
When the Gemara comes out that all the kashas now be answered with the same answer, that it's again, we'll see about lav hanita say by us, but before the Gemara seemed to say that, you know, you ask one kasha, asay, she get malchus, we said no, it says sishmor, you ask the kasha, lav shame, but my sister get malchus, you gave an answer, lasos, and then the Gemara asked lav hanita glasay, she get malchus, the Gemara says no, it's not like Avda Chasima, that's the Gemara before. So the Gemara says, now that you say that, now we can go back and answer all the earlier questions with the same answer. One answer for all the kashas. We can exclude asay and lo shas lashay b'maisa and lashay b'asay by the fact that they're not equal to lav d'chasima. Check the ritva. But what is getting malchus according to Rabbi Shmuel? Chai v'krisus and chai v'misus beisin. Ask the ritva. I don't understand. Ask chai v'krisus mimit the halodam lav d'chasima. The ritva asked the kasha. Now it's interesting. The ritva gives two tirutzim. What I want to focus on is on the second teretz, because that's what parallels our Gemara. But the fact that he gave another teretz is interesting, as if to say that, like it was possible to think of the kasha and give another teretz. He says one teretz, because divrei haTorah zos is a riboy, so that's a riboy from one pasuk. We have a miut on the other hand, so now we draw the line in the middle. So we have to include something. So we're going to include the Mrs. Beitin and the kares, and we'll exclude everything that we just said. So that sounds like Lamaisha, Lav d'chasima has to be like Lav d'chasima, perfect fit. Except I have a riboy, and the riboy allows us to include more. That's the first teretz. Second teretz, and this is what dovetails with our Gemara and our Ritzvah, the Ode, that's the second teretz earlier, the Ode, the Atu Mishum, the Ispe Belav, Chomer de Kares, Migra Gara, the Chomer Malkus, because it happens to be also a Chomer of Kares, is it Migra Gara? The Hachi, I mean, on the Kaman, Gabi Lav Shiyesh Imo Asay, Mishum De Ispe Asay Lo Gara, the Zebor. The Zebor going on the second terrace, going in both Tirusim, I don't know, probably on the second terrace. He says, Kor, he says, the fact that you have Kores is not going to say that you shouldn't get Malkus because it's not like Avda Chasima. So the Ritva points the same idea, points out the same idea before, that the fact that there's also Kores doesn't diminish it so that it wouldn't meet the standard of the Chasima. To the contrary, so it's more chamor. So Adarabba, so for sure there'll be Malkus. That's the Ritz of these four. Okay. And now, let's proceed another two lines, another back and forth in the Gemara. Rav Papa started the conversation, and Rava gave the teretz to the first Kasha Rav Papa. So Rav Shekadmo Asay is not going to be different than Lav d'chasima from the perspective of getting Malkus because the extra assay doesn't hurt, doesn't take away. But then Gemara says, and this is specifically Rav Papa pressing on, Yihachi, Lav shenita glasei nami. So then Rav Papa says, so why is Lav shenita glasei going to be pata from Malkus? Let's say the same thing. Lema, let's say, Mishum de kasbi rachmana assay yaseira migra gara, because the Torah also put an assay through the assay into the mix, so it's going to be make it less. So essentially, Rav Papa is saying, what's the difference between a lav shekadmo asay, lav shenita glasay? Manafshach, in other words, if you're going to tell me that having an extra say doesn't in any way make it less than lav d'chasima, then why is lav shenita glasay going to be different? So what is Rav Papa thinking exactly?
So ready?
Go ahead.
According to the way the Ritva explained Rava's question, on Rav Papa, the question that Rav Papa is now asking has already been answered in.
So I want to learn the Gemara without the Ritva first, okay? Don't jump. You have to first. There's a whole question. You want to learn? You know, people have a debate. Do you want to learn the Gemara without Rashi and see how it strikes you, and then do Rashi, or do you want to learn Rashi right away? So that's a debate. I'm not going to weigh in. But with the Ritva, I think we can allow ourselves the luxury of saying what would be our understanding of the Gemara first. The Ritva will come next if he's saying something different. But I'm asking first how you and I would understand the Gemara, but of course I know where you're going. So, Pashup Shat, what's Rav Papa's agenda here. Because Rav Papa thinks that Rav Shanita Glase should, in fact, get Malkus. I mean, that's not a mainstream view at all, correct? The best that we had in terms of the Rashi in the beginning of the Sugya had this Russian that we noted at the time, that filu man da amar Rav Shanita Glase ein lokin alav. Sounds like amar otherwise. Even the man da amar ein lokin alav, but there's a man da amar apparently somewhere that says lokin alav. We had some indications from Timura Zavdalat on the days when Abaya kept challenging the question. He says, is it really true that Rav Shanita Glase ein lokin alav? But if we know, Tosfos jumped all over that Gemara and says, what do you mean? Abaya is going to argue on Mishnayos by Shulach HaKein. He's going to argue on the Braisos by Nos. So Tosfos could not imagine that there's going to be a Manda Amar. Full disclosure, the next piece of Gemara, we keep going through a few lines at a time in Timur. The next piece of Gemara, Timur, after what we did yesterday, says Kitanoi. Kitanoi, and Gemara brings Machokas about the case of Nosar and why there's no Malkus. One Manda Amar says Ein Bo Maisa, and one Manda Amar says because of Lav Nita Glase. What's the Kitanoi? What's it going on? So one could have read, again, without looking at Tosfos, without looking at Rashi necessarily, Tosfos, I would say for sure, that the Gemara's Ketanai means Machokis in whether Nita Glase gets Malkus or not. Because the Manda Amar that says Ein Bo Maisa is the reason for Nosar's not getting Malkus might hold that Nita Glase is not a reason that there shouldn't be Malkus. But Tosfos says no, the Gemara doesn't mean that. The Gemara means Ketanai, a Machokis in terms of Ein Bo Maisa getting Malkus. That we already know from various Gemaras. The Rabbi Yehuda is one of the opinions in Tanayim, holds Rav Shein B'maisa Lokin Alav. And we had the Sugya Davdalet, everyone remembers that, right? I hope. Davdalet days, we had the Sugya, where Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from. But he could demastive on Rabbi Yehuda, how he learns it from Moshe Shemite and Zoman and so on. But that there should be a Machlokas and Nita Glase, it's hard to pin down. If you want to look hard and wide, you might find possible indications. But it's not the normal way to assume that Rav Papa is ultimately challenging Rava that he wants Rav Shanita Glase to be Chayv Malkus. So what would be the simple way to read our Gemara? That Rav Papa's point was that the same reason why Nita Glase doesn't get Malkus is why Rav Shanita shouldn't get Malkus. He doesn't see any basis to differentiate. And what Rava says in response, Rav Papa doesn't agree with. In other words, Rav Papa, or at least in some way, doesn't agree. And you have to know exactly what that means. In other words, he's basically arguing, I would say like that. I would say basically Rav Papa's argument is based on how he presents the question initially. In other words, where's Rav Papa coming from? Rav Papa's coming from the perspective that why should there be no Malkus by Nita Glase? Because it's not similar to Lav Dechasima. And so too, why should there be no Malkus by Kadmo Aseh? Because Lo Dam Rav Dechasima. And this argument of Rava of Mishum Dekasa Bei Rachmana Aseh Yisei Migugara, he doesn't agree. He says, yeah, whatever it is, it's not like Rav Dechasima. Does that mean Migugara? Does it mean that it doesn't have to be Migugara? Now you could start being Mefalpo. Maybe Elisvara could be thrown in. Maybe having more is also different. Maybe because of the times that we were asking, we can speculate. Maybe the fact that there's a more severe, you know, Aveira, maybe the reason is the Torah wouldn't want there to be a Malkus, so that's enough to say. It's just, I don't know exactly what to say as to why Rav Papa didn't accept the answer. But Rav Papa felt that ultimately the answer for why there's no Malkus should be predicated on it's not like Rav Dechasima, and that is enough of a reason to exclude a Rav Shekad Moaseh, just as Rav Shinita Glaseh. And that would be Rav Papa's argument. So that's his follow-up. He says, you're telling me Bishim Dekasa Bei Mikra Gara, so what about Rav Shinita Glaseh? But now comes Rav's answer. Now we have to ask ourselves, what does Rav mean to say in response? Amale, ahu, rintuke, lav, huda asa. That's the gear, so we have, some have a gear sahu with tikune lav, switching the letters. You have to know if there's a significance in that shinui, because we do use the Russian tikun a lot also, we see the lashonas of Rashi. Somehow or other, lintuke lav yuda asa, to attach itself, with tikune, to fix. Somehow, the idea being that by the case of Rav Shenitak Lasei, there I understand why there's no Malkus. Because when Tukei Rav with us, what does it mean? Says Rashi. This is the point of what makes Nitak Lasei different than Kadmor Lasei. Rashi focuses on the fact that you can only fulfill it after the lav is done. The natik is a lav me onis malchus, but Rashi focuses on the natik means to pull it away, to pull it out of the onis malchus. So therefore, the Torah is giving the assay is an indication that it's not going to have malchus. That's how Rashi says it over here. Rashi said a little more about this in the earlier part of the sugya, when the Gemara began with Kadmo Asei, and why it's different than Nitek Asei. So Rashi elaborates over there and says, Nitek HaKasav, 3 lines from the bottom, Nitek HaKasav is Asei, Lias Onsho Shalav Tikuno. The Torah is Menatek the Asei, fixing it to be the Ones and the Tikun. And if so, if you do it, asay zosi pater. So, again, we'll see other lishonos of Rashi soon in a minute, but the gist of what Rashi's saying in Makis here, the earlier Amud, and over here, that a tuke lavi is a specific svar that's applicable to lav shenita glasei, that the Torah's kavana, the Torah's agenda was, do this, and you're off the hook. There's no onus to think of, there's nothing else that's pending. Do the assay, and that's your directive, that's your corrective, that is the path you shall take, and there's no malchus. The nitak l'assay is about the Torah showing you there's no malchus by giving you the assay. B'me d'var mamurim, when does that svar make sense? If it's an assay that could not have been fulfilled before you did the lav. So that's where the Torah's Kavana, the Torah's agenda is to be menatek the lav through the assay. So that's Rava's answer to Rav Papa's kasha. So the Chora, reading the Gemara right now, the impression that we would be left with, and this is how many Achronim seem to assume, and also maybe a little bit in the Rishonim, I think, also, is that we have a machlokes Amorayim regarding why lav shenitak l'assay doesn't get malchus. Rav Papa's position is because it's not Dumi D'Lav D'Chasim. Rava had nothing to do with that. Rava's saying an independent Svara. Rava's Svara is the reason why there's no Malkus is because I look at the situation, I look at an assay that you can't fulfill before the Lav, and I assume and I recognize that the Torah's agenda here is to be Menatek the Lav from the Chi of Malkus. Do this and you'll be part of Malkus. So in other words, there are two distinct approaches to Lav Shenitak Lasei, stated in these two lines of Gemara. Papa, on the one hand, based on, well, it's not Dumi D'Lav D'Chasima, and Rava, based on this idea of when Tukei Lavi Hudas. Now, if I follow that path, what would that mean? Because I have Gemaras now to speak about. So let's start with Makis. So we had the very Gemara earlier on Yud Gimel Amud Beis that we referenced before. The Gemara before says, the Gemara gives the teretz of Nitak Lasei, Dumi D'Lav D'Chasima. So now you're going to have to say, it's something a little bit strange. You're going to have to start matching different Gemaras to different shitas of Amarayim. In other words, that Gemara that gives the teretz for why Nitak Lasei, the Gemara is saying within Rabbi Yishmael, the Seder, but the Gemara gives the answer, Lav Nitak Lasei is not going to get Malkus, it's not like Lav D'Chasima, that goes well with Rav Papa's understanding. And but Rav, on the other hand, has a different perspective. And what is the clear nafka mina that we're dealing with in our sugya? Whether the reason is based on the fact that it's not Lav D'Chasima or it's based on Tukei Lavi, what would be the clear nafka mina that emerges from our Gemara?
Lav Shekad Masai.
Masai. Now, that's the simple way to lay out the Gemara. So it comes up Rav Papa, who goes with the reason of it's not similar to Lav D'Chasima. He doesn't make a chil between Kad Masai or Nitak Lasei. And Rava, who has an independent reason, which has nothing to do with Lav D'Chasima, because from his perspective, having an extra say is not going to take it out of being like Lav D'Chasima. So Rava is going from a different perspective. Lintuke Lavi, different idea. That's what it would seem by reading these Gemaras right now. The Lashon HaMe'iri, just to see if I can indict on the Rishonim like this, the Me'iri says, the Tirates, Ahu et tikune lav Yehuda asa, klomar, acha shekosbo achar alav, lo ba el lefaresh, sheyesh lav zet tikun shumafkiya samalkis. Avo, kishekadmo asay, ena bo letikun alav, mitoch kach loke. The Me'iri doesn't say anything within Rava that has to do with Rav de Chasima. But Papa was coming from that agenda. And Rava's teretz has nothing to do with that. From that perspective, you're right. Nigra gara, but the reason why it's going to be Pater is because of this. Now, we have begun to see echoes of this, even though we haven't read the Gemara inside here at that point, but we saw echoes of this in the Sugya and Temura, especially the stipler. If we spoke, remember the stipler that we spoke out in Siman Dalet and Temura, when you understood the Gemara with the Tosfos, that Abaye was asking the Kasha on the case of person who's violates being Magdim, Bikurim with Truma, Meiser, Bikurim with Truma with Bikurim, and Meiser with Truma. And saying that you don't get Malkus because it's Nita Glase, ask Sabaye, and what about Temura, where you get Malkus, and what's the connection? Tosus says, what's Abaye asking? Nita Glase should get Malkus? Is Tosus? No, there's a different issue here at stake. What's at stake? The fact that in the case that we started with Muyascha V'demacha, it's an Asay that's nowhere appearing in the Chumash next to the Lav. So that's a little bit different than a typical Nita Glase. It's not written in Kono. And the problem by Temura is the fact that there's no Meister that you're doing. So each way, there's a problem, and therefore, Madama Mosa and Mosa. What's the Shaykhus? What's going on? It's a Dabra Pella. What does Tosis mean to say? Comes to Stipe and says, based through the prism of this Gemara, that L'chara, we have two different approaches to why Nita Glase would not get Malkus. We have the approach that Rav Papa is pushing. It's Lo Domya Dilad de Chasima. And the kasha, the response of Rava doesn't bother him for whatever reason, Migra Gara. He holds that somehow it's not like Rav de Chasima, there's an extra essay, so be it. Kadmo say, Nitaga say are no different one from the other. And then there's the answer of Rava, which is that it's with Tikkuni Lavi. But now there'll be the Nafka Mina, not just in Kadmo say, but in the cases in Temura. Both of those instances are examples that Rav Papa, his idea, his mahalach, would explain why it could be called Nita Glase. But Rava's explanation would not work. Namely, if it's based on the fact that it's coming to be a tikkun, so then you would expect the Torah to tell me this tikkun bimkom halav. The Torah is saying, here's the lav, and here's the essay, and meaning to say, if you do the lav, then do the essay, and you're off the hook for Malkus. But if the essay is nowhere near the lav, then Mechat Tasty, it's a tikkun. On the other hand, the lav is still not like Ata Chasima. So therefore, that could be the issue in terms of that example. So too, by Temura, if you have the Torah not telling you to do anything, just the halacha is what it is, but the Torah does give you that v'hayos mafia kodesh, and it counts a million hamitzvahs as an asay. So that fact that there's an asay that's accompanying the lav happens to be next to the lav, but the point is it's not a tikkun to do anything. It's just a reality, but it counts as a mitzvah. So that lav makes it, it's not like Ata Chasima. So if a Papa's Mahalach was the basis for Nita Glase, then that would also be the case by Temura. That was Abaye's Kasha, gives him Muggins about the terrace. No, but there's two lavin by Temura, and therefore, to the extent that there's a separate lav, that lav can be seen as independent of the assay, and that lav, you would have to say, lines up with Rav de Chasima. The lav that has the assay associated with it is not like the Chasima. But the lav that doesn't have the essay, because there's two lavin and one essay, that becomes analogous to Rav de Chasima, an interesting way to think about the Gemara's Teretz. But that's what comes out of the stipler, that you have really two mahalchim. And there are many achronim that think in these terms, and again, many indications in the Rishonim as well. This could also be the issue from yesterday's shir, the next part of the Gemara, that the Gemara brings in, as we discussed yesterday, the way Tosis learns that Gemara, that the question of Kohen Shagires, that the Gemara was asking that in the same way that the assay of the assay that's metakim lasu demachos acher didn't speak to the specific case of a person who's magdim trumo bikurin, It only spoke to the case of a person who's magde maisa l'tuma, and yet you're counting that as a nituk. But the Gemara wanted to say that a kohen shegiresh, we should not get malchus because there's an assay by Yisrael. What's the shaykhus? What's the Gemara asking? Again, one could argue the Gemara is asking on the same vein that if you want to define the lav as having an assay connected to it, and therefore it's not a lav de chasima, then who cares if right now I have the ability or not the ability to be metaken to do it, but the lav has an assay connected to it, it's not a lav de chasima. And therefore that's Rav Papa's approach. But Rav's approach, the whole Gemara wouldn't start. The whole Gemara was based on the assumption that we were reading earlier in the Gemara. But then what did we say for the teretz of the Gemara? But Cohen is different. We had a mahalach, but it's a hard thing to swallow. What did the Gemara say by Cohen? That the tikkun of a Yisrael, that's too far-fetched. The Torah ushered the Cohen from such a tikkun. If the Torah forbade, there's a kedusha of Kohanim, a kedusha yaser of Kohanim, that you may not take this woman back, so then you can't say, well, the lab has an assay by Yisrael, but if that assay is foreign to the case of the Cohen, that far to take it out of lab the chasima you won't do. In other words, there's a line. There's a line you have to draw. If it's just parav, if the fact that the Torah spoke about one case and not about this case, so there might not be a technical essay in this case, but the lav of this case has an essay in a different case, okay, that also is enough not to get malchus. It's not lav de chasima. But if the case at hand, that essay, it's not just that the Torah didn't speak about that essay is absolutely prohibited to you. You are on a different track. You don't have such a thing. You're not allowed to do such a thing. So then you can't allow the fact that the lav has an assay somewhere else where for you it would be usher, that cannot be enough to say it's not a lav de chasima. It's a bit of a chidush, but that's how we learned yesterday. But the point of all this is that we're taking this Gemara as presenting two different paths in understanding why lashnita glasei doesn't get malchus. And we could go with Rav Papa, and then a lot of new cases are going to suddenly come under the rule of Lashon Nitagase, even if there's no practical tikkun involved. Just to give you another muscle of such an idea, again, how far we can take it. Because even in Gemaras, I found the Rishonim and maybe Shat in the Gemara, but there may be other Gemaras, other Amorayim. There's a Gemara in Yuma, Lamed Vav, Lamed Aleph, onto Lamed Vav, Lamed Beis, and this is the way Rashi learns the case. There's an Amora Rav Yirmiya. I'm not going to get into the whole Gemara, just to give you the case. The Torah says like this: you cannot eat nevela. Lo sochu kol nevela. And then the Torah says, what should you do with the nevela? Don't eat it. What should you do? What does the Torah continue in that pasuk and say? What do you do with the nevela?
Give it to a non-Jew or sell it to a non-Jew.
To eat or give, sell it to a non-Jew. Now, would anyone, if I ask you at first glance, is that a lashon nitka glasei? Something you do in nevela. It's instead of eating it, right? Give it away or sell it, right? So there is, Rav Yirmiyah says that there's a question that maybe we view this as lashon nitka glasei. The lav in nevela kamislegi. Rabbi Akiva Sava, it's a perfect lav. Yosagulei Sava. Lav lav malyehi. Says Rashi, Tak of Lamed Vavam Beis and Yuma. It says in the pasuk, Lo sochu kol nevela, Lager Hashem b'sharecha. Tichsiv asei achara, Lager Hashem b'sharecha, Titnena v'achala. Miu, Rashi says, Al kochach ein ze nitak lasei, So ha'nesinah se leger, I efshe l'achar she'ovar al losasei shel achila. It's not just that you could do it before, you could do it afterwards. It's not shayach to do it afterwards. It's to the contrary. It's only when you didn't eat it that you give it to the ger tosha. But Rabbi Akiva says that you'll get malchus because it's a regular lav. Because the fact that the Torah mentions an assay, but the assay has nothing to do with being violating the lav. It couldn't even be fulfilled after you violate the lav. It's only possible to fulfill it if you didn't do the lav. Rabbi Yossi Agli Savar, now Rashi continues, but according to Rabbi Yirmiyah in the Gemara, this is all Rashi's chat. Yossi Agli holds, Lav de Nevela, Af al Gav, De al Kochach, Asei de Basrei Ne'ikara Mashma. the assay of Agir Sibisharecha is going on the beginning of the story. Don't eat it. Give it to a Ger Tosa. Hoel Ubasre the Lab Siv, since the Lab has in it written right afterwards an assay. Ain Lokin Alav, listen to Lashon Rashi, listen to this Rashi. Rashi Lamed Vavam Beis and Yuma. Again, it's Rav Yirmiyah within Rav Yossi Aglili. I want to show you how far it goes to say, Lo Dami Gulav Dechasina, how far it might go. How far it might go. It's written in the Pasuk, after the words Lo Socho Konevela, it's written, L'Ager Shebesharecha. And therefore, since the Torah wrote an assay in the Chumash, right after the Lav, even though the assay has nothing to do with what do you need to do after you do the Lav. It's had to be kar. Nevertheless, Ein Lokin Alav, says Rashi, the Lo Dami Lav Dechasima. Rabosai, Mamash Apele, right? Rashi is running with this idea of Lo Dami Lav Dechasima. Again, albeit within a particular Shita of Atana, within a particular Shita of an Amora, and this is not the only Pshat in the Gemara. So obviously it's very much of a fringe idea here. But this Rashi is allowing us to see how far one might conceivably take this notion that a Lav Shenita Glase, and I wouldn't even be call it that, because it's not Nita Glase in any kind of an action way, in the sense that the whole action is dafka when you didn't do the Lav and not when you did the Lav. It's not like you could do it before, you could do it afterwards. You couldn't do it afterwards. It's dafka before that the Torah is discussing it. So, and yet, there would be enough to say the Torah wrote it after the Lav. And that's enough to say it's Lav, Lo Dami Lav Dechasima. Again, this is all very much of a stretch. All of this is to understand that there are two basic tracks in the sugya, Rav Papa and Rav. Now, if we really run with this further, we're going to get into a lot of problems tomorrow, because we're going to see a whole sugya coming up of kimo v'lo kimo, bitlo v'lo bitlo, and situations where one would get malchus, but we'll have to need to glace, do two different approaches, and we'll have to open up the sugya Yetz Hashem as we go on. But think about this. The more that I'm locked in to Lav Dechasima as the beginning and the end of the whole idea, there's nothing more to ask or explain. Just the fact that the Lav is Lo Dami Lav Dechasima, the more that we're going to run into a lot of problems in the Hemshech HaGemara. Because if that is correct, that the Lav has to be Lav Dechasima and otherwise it's excluded, then could anyone imagine that you should get Malkus for Lav Shenita Glase in any situation? The pashtus, whether or not you get Malkus, should depend on one issue. Is it the similar or not to Lav Dechasima? Finished. End of story. And yet the very next piece of Gemara is going to introduce a whole world of a discussion about when and the one circumstances would it be possible to get Malkus for Lav Shenita Glase. So as much as it's very, very tempting to understand the Lav Dechasima comparison as the entire picture, if you go there, you're going to have to know how to reconcile that. And maybe there are Amorayim that are different than both Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, for all we know, in the next piece of Gemara. But Lamaisa, it's at first glance, it's not a very good fit. The fact that the Gemara is going to present possibilities of getting Malkus allows us to see that it's not just about freezing the frame of the Lav. Lav Dechasima, yes, no, answer, figure it out, yes, Malkus, no Malkus, end of story. No, obviously it's in flux. And then we're going to have to look at the next sugya in a very different way than simply saying Lav Dechasima. What do we do with the sugya in Temura? What do we do with Rashi and Yuma? Okay, we have to know what to do with it. But this is one way to think about this question. According to the approach of Papa, it has nothing to do with Tikkun Halav. It has to do with defining the Lav as similar or not to Lav Dechasima. According to Rav Rava, it's about Tikkun Halav, and that's when Kadmo Asay wouldn't fit in, and that's when all those other cases wouldn't fit in. And just to add one more Nakuda to throw in as well, the Svara that we spoke at from the Ritzvah, that the Ramban liked, that how can it be by Nichnas L'Migdash B'Tumah that you'll get Malkus it should be if Rav Yochanan was chozer and he thought that lav shekad moaseh should be the same as nitag moaseh, so how come you get malchus? So what did the Ritva say? The teretz that he liked, that it's not a tikkun, because all you're doing is what? All you're doing is preventing it from happening more of the same, but you're not in any way doing a tikkun lemafreya. Because what was, you were metame the migdash. So therefore, even if it's nita garseh, it can be a tikkun. Because you're not fixing the past in any way. So that's all a svara that one can understand if we're thinking about the idea in terms of tikkun. But if it were based on not being lav dechasima, then obviously it wouldn't matter. Nothing else would matter. Now, having said all of this, let's go to the Ritva. There's a couple of things in the Ritva that obviously are going to change the perspective.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can I just ask a small question before we start the Ritva?
Of course.
According to the Tzad that it's about Dunya de Chasima, why is it called the Labanita Klase? What does that even mean?
You want to know how it changes even the words themselves and the meaning of the words. I'm still struggling myself with how to transfer the word nitak. It means different things in different places. I still don't have a perfect definition. You know, nituk can mean to detach, it can mean to attach, it can mean to pull it away, to plug in together. Obviously, you're going to have to use a lucid definition. Nita glase means that there's a connection. The Torah made a connection. The Torah wedded together. Lav and asay. The Torah put them in some way in the same boat. The lav is somehow. It's going to become a lot clearer both sides when we see bitlovul, bitlokimo, vlokimo. We're going to see the next Gemara. It's going to, even with Pashup Shan and Rashi, you're going to see a lot of lumbus that's going to come out. To what extent one would one say that the very lav was not complete until you also, you know, put an end to the assay. So long as the assay is still in abeyance and could be done, the lav was somehow not. I want to get to just the general, you know, guidelines in a few minutes with the Diyugim and Rashi, but really it's going to connect the next sugya. What you're asking is a good question. What do you do with the lav shenita garseh if it's just about lav dechasima? The Gemara said it before. The Gemara said, lav shenita garseh, and it's not doing lav dechasima. So, I mean, the definition is what it is. I don't know exactly how to literally define it, but we know what it is. We just don't know how to literally define the words. I'm sorry if I didn't answer your question. okay. Barak Noah, good. Keep at it. Okay. Let's go to the Ritva. So first of all, what was brought up by Ezra earlier in Shir. Ezra, you're still here, right? Okay, so this is very interesting. The Ritva seems to say that what Rava says in response to Rav Papa recognizes is correct. This is clearly different than the way we've been learning until now. We assume that Rav Papa, for whatever the reason, didn't feel that Rava's terms were sufficient. After all, Rav Shenita Glasei should be no different. And the bottom line is, Lo Dami Rav Dechasima, and he doesn't accept the Svara Migra Gara, for whatever the Cheshbonus would be, but that's Rav Papa's Shita. The Ritva says, of course Rav Papa recognizes the point, Asha, because of the follow-up. There's the Ritva, Amalei Rava, Bechim Mishum, the Sibay Asay Gara, Perush, Enon Olamedim, as we explained before, okay. Velonis kaven v'davis that pashid huvada. What Rava says is obvious. Velonis kaven Rav Papa bekushizu el mishum idach debayu lakshuye. Rav Papa only intended to ask the original kasha on kad moaseh that it's not like Avda Chasima because of the follow-up question. Ihach lakshinita gase nami. Kolomar shalav kod mo. In other words, if the lav was first, name a deloke mishum deispi aseh lo gara. So, I want to understand Pshat in this Ritva. So the Ritva says that Rav Papa really was not asking the kasha that we thought he was asking, which is kasha number one, which doesn't really hold that Rav Shekad Moaseh should be part of Malchus. Because the answer of Rava was a very obvious answer. So what would Rav Papa start by asking because of the next kasha. So what really was bothering Rav Papa was, Kenita Glase should what? Should not be part of Malkus. Why? Because Bara? So let's explain. So what does the Ritva mean? So he means that Rav Papa really wants to make the case that Nita Glase Malkus. What is the Ritva doing here? He's telling us Rav Papa really understood the Svara Rava, that having an extra say is not going to. So then what was the point of the Kasha? That Nitag Asay should not be part of Malkus. So Rav Papa's agenda is that there should be Chiv Malkus but Nitag Asay? Can Rav Papa actually hold that way? I mean,
is it ready?
What?
Is it possible that he's just saying theoretically that that would be the case and he knows that it's wrong?
Okay, so that's what I'd be inclined to think, because I can't think of any other pshat. So I think the Ritva must be learning is that there's not really two shitas here. But it's just a give and take to understand what understands the bottom line halacha, just doesn't know why it is what it is. In other words, Rav Papa is trying to understand the reason behind Nita Glase being Pater from Malkus. Because after all, he says, let's start with Kadmo Asay. Kadmo Asay is not like the Hasima. So obviously you're going to say, well, it's no worse. Ah, gotcha. Now why is it worse? Why is it worse by the case of Nitagasa? Oh, so now that's what the Ritva means. So I don't have another shot. I think it has to be that way. They can't see to here. So therefore, what is now the answer of Rava? It now comes out that Rav Papa and Rava are not really two poles at all. Rav Papa and Rava are not really two different approaches. Rav Papa and Rava have a lot of common ground. The assumption Rav Papa working with, that there's something about needing to be similar to Rav de Chasima is not something that Rava is negating. It's trying to find a way to fit that within a basis to distinguish between Nita Glase and Kadmo Asay. And you see that is meduic in the Ritva, in the Teretz that Rava finally provides. Rava is not pushing away Rav Papa and saying you have a totally different understanding of what's going on and we're different pages and we did not at all. Because what happens now in the Teretz? So Rav Papa is just trying to understand what differentiates Mimanafshach. If you Rav de Chasima, so Lechera, you're right, Rava. Migra Gara, it is Rav de Chasima. So why ultimately is it different by Nita Glase? Rava doesn't dismiss what Rav Papa brought in. Because they're not speaking on different wavelengths. They're just trying to understand the difference. So what does Rava say in response? Okay. Since the asay, this is the definition of nitag asay, that you can only do it after the lav is violated. Lo ba lahachmir ba'avera ayedei asay velo sasay. It's not pshat that the Torah has come to be machmir on the avera to add an asay. El lintuki lelav. But in order to lintuki lelav, the imekayma asay liklus isure. What the Torah is trying to do is saying, do the asay, and that will peel away, that will weaken the isur, the enlokinel. So what is the Ritva saying, mefurish, cannot mefurish here? When we're answering in Tuki Lavi, are we saying an independent svara, why Nita Glase doesn't get Malkus? Or it's just a way of explaining why, in this regard, we have something that is not more chamer than Rav de Chasima, but we have something which is lower in the scale than Rav de Chasima. What is happening in the Teretz? Notice, bimadai clearly. Nowhere does the Ritva say that Rava is negating the idea of Rav de Chasima. The issue of playing out is it more chamer than Rav de Chasima, or is it more kal than Rav de Chasima? So initially, the question that Rav Papa posed, which was an obvious answer that Rava gave, was, listen to me, Kadmo Asay is more chamer, because therefore it's for sure part of Rav de Chasima, because it has Lo Sachtom and it has something on top of Lo Sachtom. So what are you asking me? Rav Papa understood that. The Papa says, but basically, I don't understand. So, Rav Shenita Glase is not going to get Malkus because it's not Rav de Chasima. But Rav Papa doesn't understand. But if it has Lo Sachtom plus, so why would it be excluded from Rav Dechassima, it's both Sachsom and Tapaver. It has an Asay. Says Rabbi, let me explain to you. Because when it's Nita Glashe, as opposed to Kadmo Ashe, there we understand that the Torah is taking that lav and bringing it down a notch. So it's Taka, a situation of a lav that is less than Rav Dechassima. Having a nituk to the lav means the Torah says that, you know what, the assay is going to peel away some of the sting of the lav. By giving you the option of doing the assay, so now the Torah is basically weakening the lav, saying, you know what, you can get away from the malchus, you can take away from the lav by doing the assay, and you won't get malchus. So to the contrary, that's exactly why it doesn't fit within Los Afso. By giving the putting the assay next to the lav, by telling you do the assay after the lav, that itself is Likush Yisurei. Likush Yisurei means it's kal from Los Afsom. So for the Ritva, at the end of the day, Rav Papa and Rava are not too, just as we said in terms of Rav Papa asking the question, he wasn't arguing, he wanted to understand. So the other side of that point is that Rava's response was not dismissing the premise of Rav Papa's question, he's just clarifying why the premise is correct, that ultimately the reason why there's no Malkus is because it's not like Rav Dechassima, but you want to understand why is it considered to be less than Rav Dechassima? Why isn't it Nigra Gara, like I told you by Kadmo Asay? Says Rav, I'll tell you why, because by Kadmo Asay, it's Nigra Gara, it's not gonna take it away because it's more than the lav. But by Kadmo Asay, by Nitag Asay, because the Torah is coming to say, do the Asay, and you have something of a weakening of the lav, therefore it's considered to be less than Rav Dechassima. Comes at a point to the Ritva, it's really one and the same, it's not two sugyas. The fact that the Gemara says earlier, the chesaron of, it's not like Rav Dechassima, is not going according to one mahalach, one shita, and that was like Rav Papa over here, and all the other Gemaras, and of Nita Gassay being different than Kadmo Asay is Rava's idea. No, it's all the same. Kadmo Asay and Nita Gassay are distinct, because in one case, it's better than Rav Dechassima. Rav Kadmo Asay, it's not a tikkun, if it's not viewed as a tikkun, as a nituk, then it becomes part of the limud of Los Afsom. If it can be understood as being the Torah's remedying the lav in some way through the assay, then you can view it as being less than Los Afsom. So it's mamish the same issue. The two issues are, one is mashed in the other. It's not mefurish here in the Ritva, and I think you see it again later on in the later sugya, there's a Lashna Ritva as well, that the Ritva puts together both sentences. There's a lesson of the Ritva later, right before Tesvav Amid Beis, the last couple of lines. He says, "Time of the Milsa, the Lav Shenitagla Say Hachi Mashmat Fei Chi Kaim Haasei." Here it says Lahodia. It should say Garea. It should say, I think, Garea Kochu Shalav the Lower Heavy Klav the Chasima. He says Nitagla Say. He says Chi Kaim Haasei the Garea Kochu Shalav. The Lo Lehevik of the Chasima, the last day I say the Misakin Lekral. In other words, not having an Asay the Misakin puts it on a higher level. So Lo Sachsom is the standard, and having the Asay to be Misakin the Lav puts it below the standard of Lo Sachsom. Very different perspective. So we are ultimately still tied down to the Lav the Chasima as the Melamed, no steer between the Gemaras, but the reason why it's Migra Gara is because of the fact that the Nituki Lavi. The Nituki Lavi allows us to understand that, yes, Nigra Gara. But if it's not Nituki Lavi, if the Torah gave you the essay and it could have been done before the Lav, then you don't see there's a tikkun for the Lav. So then already it would be Nigra Gara. So then, of course, you get Malkus. This is the way the Ritva would understand.
Ravi?
Yes.
Let me say that. Does that mean like, the Ritva hold it's more kal, that it has the extra asay?
Now, of course, we have to think about this carefully. But yes, exactly. The fact that there's an asay means that the Torah has shown you that this lav has a certain weakness to it. The Torah is willing to peel away the sting of this lav by giving you the asay. Again, we have to formulate it well, and there's different ways maybe to think about it. But first the outline. The Ritva is using the Svara of Rava as plugging it in to why this can be put it from being a Gav Dechassima. Rav Shekadmo Asay is Losachson plus. So So then he's going to get malchus, because I don't see any reason why the lav is any way less than lav. But when the Torah wants you to metaken the lav with the assay, and so gave you the opportunity to do the assay, and with that, the Isser is obviously less of an Isser, because now you're not getting malchus. That's what the Torah is saying. So that itself is explaining why it's not like Avat HaChasima. Having the assay shows me that the lav has something less than lav HaChasima, because the Torah gave you the option of doing the assay afterwards. So that's what makes it less than lav HaChasima. Now I ask you a following question. Assay Rabosei. A question in Havana. Very good question, I think. Let's see. What is Kadmo Assay Rabosei? Kadmo Assay, you say because there's an extra assay, Migra Gara, so that would get Malkis. What's called Kadmo Assay? So the Ritva over here only focuses on one aspect of Kadmo Assay. If you could have fulfilled the assay before you did the lav, so that wouldn't be considered that the assay is a tikkun of the lav. You could have done it before as well, right? So that I understand. But remember, there was another aspect to Kadmo Assay versus Nitak Assay. And that was where it's written in the Chumash. And if you remember, how did the Ritva back when, the very first shiur that we had, how did the Ritva explain Kadmo Assay? Is it only about whether you could fulfill the assay before violating the lav, or might it also depend on when it's written in the Chumash?
Either or.
Either or. And now I ask you a simple question on both sides. Simple question. I understand that what the Ritva is saying, that if the assay could have been fulfilled before violating the lav, then you can view it as a nituk, and therefore I can say it's for sure like a lav d'chasima. It's no worse that it has an assay, because the assay is not viewed as a nituk. But if you can only fulfill the assay after the lav, but the Torah happens to put it in the chumash before the lav, so why would the Ritva say in that case that you get malchus? The Maisa, there is a tikkun in place that you can do after violating the lav. The Torah put the assay in the chumash before the lav, in the ksiva. Why should that matter? The fact is, there is something here in this lav that's less than lav d'chasima, because there is a tikkun that relates to the lav. No? Why would having it in the chumash before change the equation and suddenly say, well, it's now part of l'sachsa? If the issue was only dependent on whether you could fulfill the lav before or after, then I understand that's a measure of whether it's considered to be less or more than losachsom, because if I have a tikkun that's only possible, it's a tikkun because you can only do it afterwards. If you could do it before, then it's not a tikkun. Why would the Ritva relate to the fact that it was before written the Chumash before as a reason to call it Kadmo Assay, and therefore consider it to be more than losachsom? What would you think? I have some thoughts. I want to know what you think, though. I don't know. What do you think of this? Yeah, Moshe, go ahead.
I think we can say that even though there's a tikkun, so it's clearly just from the tikkun perspective, it's showing that there is obviously it's a lesser assay. Without the same Torah that told you the intensity of the assay, telling you that this is a tikkun for the assay, then you can't say that the Torah is telling me it's lower. Torah's not telling me it's lower. The Torah's telling me it's tikkun, but Torah can't tell me it's weaker unless there has unless the assay is in its proper spot.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying. I would just maybe say it a little better. Say that maybe it's not a tikkun. If the Torah didn't put it afterwards, the Torah has it there, but maybe the Torah didn't. Torah has to validate it as a tikkun. It happens to be connected in some way, but if the Torah doesn't stamp it as a tikkun, then I don't view it as a tikkun. Maybe that's possible. I just want to end with a few diukim in Rashi, which I think you have a chance to look at, because a lot of this is going to also very much connect to the next sugya. But if I ask you the following question, when we say tikkun, what does it mean? Tikkun, kapara, there's different lashonos of Rashi. Rashi here uses the lashon, lias anshoso zev v'tikuno, that's on Yud Gimel and Beis. Interesting language. The assay is an onesh v'tikuno. Here, an aragamar that we just read, Lenatik me'onesh malchus huva. Rashi Sanhedrin Samach Gimel Mebeis. That's what I should have written on the sheet. She'in lokan alav she'zeh onsho shalav she'mosiro yisrefeno v'yipater. That's Rashi in Sanhedrin. Rashi in Chulin, Also, at the end of Chulin, it comes up, Rashi Mita Glase. Rashi's lesson is, find it. Rashi's lesson over there has to do with that you don't have to, you're off the hook. Let's see if I can find it. Okay, after we'll find it. So, Kufman Malaf and Chulin, you look at the lesson over there as well. Yeah, here it is. Rashi ain't looking alav. The lahachin nitkala say im avar alav yaseh zos the yinatzel. If you violate the law, do this and you'll be spared. The question I ask you is this: are you reversing the avera, or are you just being spared the onus? In other words, to what extent does having the assay take away from the actual avera? It's as if the avera is not as bad. It's as if you took back the Aveira, that's why you don't get Malkus. You're less of a Rasha when you did the essay. Or the Aveira is done, but there is a steering of the Malkus. The different Lashonis of Rashi might lend themselves to different ideas. Rashi and Davdaud and Beis also, I think I gave you to look at, all very interesting ways of formulating it, but not identical. Rashi says, on Davdaud and Beis, Shahasei ha'amur acharav takanaso v'kaparaso alaveras halav. Notice the different lashonos of Rashi. Takanaso v'kaparaso alaveras halav. Now, if you're mechaper on the lav, there's no lav, right? Mechaper on it. If it's just that you can be speared, the other onesh, I don't know, these are diukim that one should think about. And the last thing I want to mention is the Rashi of Psachim, in light of what we spent much of this year on, we asked, is the tour of Nita Glase based on the independent svara of Lintuke Lavi, what Rava says at the end, independent of the idea of Ravda Hasima? That was the first mahalach that we built in the Sugya, and we had Makoros for that. And then we saw from the Ritzva that maybe everything boils down to Ravda Hasima. It's just a question of whether it's considered less or not, less or more than Ravda Hasima. So there's a very interesting Rashi in Tzach and Peidah and Aleph, again, relating to that drasha by Nosar, that's considered Rashi Nita Glase. Rashi connects two reasons as distinct reasons. This would go not like the Ritva, presumably, and with the idea that maybe there are two different approaches. Rashi makes it clear that two ideas, the bottom Rashi and Peidah and Aleph from Tzach. Boha Kosov, Kol Rav, Shenita Glase, Emok, and Aleph, says Rashi, Dimashna. Zuhi takanaso. This is your remedy in Tavur Alav. Asay zos v'hinatzel. That is similar to the language I think I quote from Ashin Kulin. Asay zos v'hinatzel. This is the takana. This is your remedy. Do this and be spared any other consequences. Ve'od. De'lodomim rabbe chasim ha'shamalkas nismachlo. So the Rashi end of Tidal and Aleph gives us two separate rationales for Nita Glase. First, the Masma Zuhi Takanasa independence mara, in Tavra Alav Hasei Zos Vehinasel, the Ode to Lo Dami. So this is another Rashi, very Chashim Amar Malkom, this Chor, not the way the Ritva went out of the Mara. You have to know what does Rashi have in mind by bringing two different reasons, and how does this maybe play out in terms of different possible Maras and rationales for this Inyan. Both that you can see that it's a very vast subject, but again, we take it one step at a time. We're entering into new uncharted territory, Mendeshem, with the next part of the Gemara. Hopefully, again, we'll proceed as much as we could, you know, in a deliberate way, and we should be able to continue to study and to learn well. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Okay, stay well, stay safe.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The way we understood the Ritva,